Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Well, if you're not a morning person, then you're missing out big time. Big time in life, people. You have to get up because the birds and the bees, they know there's something about the morning. There's something about that morning that really has high octane in you, spirituality, physicality. And if you look at Adam, hey, Adam, look at the six-pack in you. Look at how fit and trim you look. Even, yes, alhamdulillah, even in Ramadan, you're looking even doubly fit. Adam Kamda. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat. Yes, lovely month. We're enjoying good fast. Nice cool day again this morning. The sea is looking absolutely gorgeous. It's partly cloudy today. There's a wave of clouds just hanging over the horizon. But the sun is coming up and shining through the bottom of the cloud, Shafat. It's an absolutely magic sight. Lots of people walking and jogging on the promenade this morning. And the beaches are strewn with debris again. I witnessed it all being cleaned up last weekend. But I think there was too much in the ocean and it spewed it out onto our doorstep. And the cleanup operation continued, Shafar.
Operation cleanup. Oh, they call it Operation Chanel. Hey, I don't know, Adam. This is going on, Operation Chanel. And I want you to look again at the clouds, right? Look deep into the clouds. And does that cloud, or those clouds, do they have a silver lining, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, you should have seen it before sunup this morning. Dark sky, but you could see a white streak high up in the sky. You know, where the sun's rays were going over the surface of the earth, not really lighting up the ground here, but high up in the stratosphere, and white clouds beaming early in the morning before sunrise. I'll post a picture on Facebook, Shafar, then you can log on and have a look. But gray clouds on the horizon, you look straight up and you can see white clouds behind that, Shafar.
Now, Adam, you know, Allah has blessed you that you look right into the horizon, right? But, you know, how do you react to someone say, hey, man, your horizon is on the tip of your nose? I mean, did you ever say that to anyone or did anyone around you talk like that, Adam?
You know, Shafad, I always look out to sea whenever I'm near the beach, when I get up in the morning. I'm fortunate to live on the beachfront, and it's a view that I never take for granted. I love taking photographs of the sunrise, shared with all my fishing fans and all my outdoor fans. There's a wave ski group that I share the pictures with this every morning as well, Shafat. So they know what the conditions are looking like for surfing, for wave skiing, and absolutely having a time of their lives. So I'm one, Shafat, that never takes it for granted. And there's a new masterpiece painting painted every morning, Shafat. Every sunrise is completely different, and it's such a blessing, and it's such an evidence of our Creator, Shafat, that no two mornings are alike.
Yeah, and alhamdulillah, youth of Islam, when before he accepted Islam, you know, morning has broken black and so forth. I mean, alhamdulillah, but inspired, and when you listen to youth of Islam, you knew that this man had something special, and one day he'll come into the house of Islam. In the year 1977, I remember buying the Sunday Times, Adam. I'm sharing this with you. And while I was walking, there was a tiny, tiny article said that Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens accepts Islam. Adam, I teared. I actually teared. I was a lightie then, but I really teared. I said, wow, I knew this will happen. And alhamdulillah, you know, today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives his hidayah to whomever he wants. You know, Adam, whilst we're reading the Quran and we talk about the Quran and we celebrate the Quran, we embrace the Quran in this month of Ramadan, Taraweeh is all about the Quran. Now tell me, which is your favorite surah in the Quran, Adam?
It has to be the first surah, Shafat. The number one is the easiest. It's the one that we recite at every namaz, and it has a very deep meaning. And every Muslim bahats it. So I'd say the first Surah Al-Fatiha is the best in the Quran.
Hey, I tell you, this man is a genius, eh? Because that is a key, people. That's a key. It opens up the Quran. It's a key. to the divine decree. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in Surah Fatiha how He wants to be glorified. These are the lines You use to glorify Me. You don't have to reinvent your poetry and this and that. Just read it there. And Adam, Allahu Akbar, bless you for that. And what about these fishermen? They tell me, Hey Shafat, read your three quls and you'll get a pull. What do you think of that, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, that's a new one. I haven't heard that line, but it's very apt. The dua we make when we're on the boat, Shafat, is, we always have a joke amongst our friends, especially myself, Vaizi, Shahid, and Segi. We always say, oh Allah, please let my friend catch the bigger fish. And at the end of the day, you know, if you make that dua with sincerity, Allah gives you the biggest fish, Shafat.
Yeah, I tell you, that's what I was saying. I mean, there's a camaraderie amongst you all, and there's something about every fisherman. I mean, I know you, alhamdulillah, you know, you're so efficacious, you're bubbly, you're vibrant. The same I can say about, your good pal, Vaizi, has the same laid-back, cool, calm character. Is that more imbibed because of the hobby that you all have? Is the fishing, does it really affect the physiology of your human being?
Yes, Shafat, as I mentioned in a previous show, you know, fishing to us is a complete stress relief. When you go out fishing, doesn't matter what form of fishing, whether you're standing on the shore with a line in the water or you're drifting at sea, trolling your baits behind the boat, and casting a fly. It doesn't matter what facet you choose, Shafat, but, you know, it's a complete escape from this world. It's as if you've gone to another world and come back. You leave all your worries behind, and it completely recharges you. So I think fishing does that to people. And being friends as fishermen, Shafat, you know, we share this common bond, and we share tips and tricks. We help each other. We share our food. If one person is catching more than the other, we try and guide them. You know what, maybe you're not putting the bait on right, or do this or do that. So fishermen generally, I think, are very helpful people. They're always looking out for each other, and they're always quite bubbly, Shafat.
You know, I like what you're saying, but perhaps a question that I'll answer, but you don't have to answer it, Adam. I'm going to pose it to you. You don't have to answer it. Who's your favorite fishing buddy?
Well, you know, Shafat, I get along with everyone, and it's hard to say I have a favorite, but I think there definitely is one person that stands out, and that would be Novi Naidu. You know, in terms of the sport, Shafat, there's a lot of fun to be had. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of work to be done as well, you know, fueling the boat up and launching and beaching and that kind of thing. And Novi is always there. You know, I can phone him up at any hour of the day or night, and he's always ready to help. And the beauty is that he's not only there just for the fun part. He's there, you know, to do all the hard labor that goes on behind the scenes of servicing the boat and cleaning and fueling, you know. And even tying traces and finding out new knowledge and sharing new knowledge and stuff. So I definitely say Novi is the one that stands out as my best fishing buddy, Shafat.
Hey, Novi, you know what happened here? Yeah, Novi. Yeah, Adam told the whole world about this. The whole world. This morning, I think, how many people listening to us, Boniface? 2.5 million people listening to us around the globe. So, Novi. Yeah, Adams like to. I mean, that's it. You know, a friend in need is a friend indeed, and his deeds are already talking. You know, he says he does all the small things, but it adds up in the end. And you know, you get sometimes you get a friend that's an armchair critic. He loves it all. He's a center of attraction. He'll do all the talking, but he won't walk the talk, Adam.
You know, Shafat, you get people that are doers, and Novi definitely is a doer. Like even for example, in our fishing club. On Sundays, he'll go out there. Tegi is the maintenance guy, so we'll go and assist Tegi, whether it's to start the tractor, check the oil, check the water, give it a run, check that the battery is full, etc. When people want to launch, he's there first to put his hands up to say, I'll come and help you to launch. And even when we're having our socials and having our braai, Shafat, he'll be standing at the braai stand, braaiing all the meat, doing all the hard work. And he absolutely loves it. You know, he does it from the heart. So I'd say a big shout out to Novi, and wish the world was had more novies to go around, Shepard.
Yeah, a novi. No, we're not talking about the Toby fish there. We're talking about novi people. And you know what, Adam? I'd love to meet this novi. I'd love to meet him. Perhaps, you know, record him or talk to him one day. And or maybe bring him on with you one day, and we can bring him on this spot and talk with you and him. I'm looking at your composite. It looks so beautiful. You know, I can see that it says breakers, boats, and bunkers, Adam Kamda. I mean, your composites are always, you know, something refreshing, Adam. I want you to describe your composite to our listeners this morning. Look at it. I'm giving you time to open up your phone. Look at your composite there. And I really like it. I like the color scheme there. I love the ocean. I love that boat. It's got the two big engines. I don't know what make that is. You're going to tell us about that engine and so forth. Talk to me about that composite that was made for you by, you know, our composite maker, Hafiz Abdullah. Adam?
And it's not being evidence. The line is going a bit sketchy. Can you
hear me? Okay, I was talking about your composite there, Adam. You know that picture that we send you all the time. I wanted you to describe it. And when you look at it, you know, what goes through your mind when you look at all your composites?
You're gone very muffled, but I'm hoping you can hear me clearly. That picture, you know, really resonates with me, Shafat, you know, with the motors hanging out the back of a boat. And as you know, the motors are the powerhouse of our boating, whether it's surf launching or launching through the harbor. And, you know, it really epitomizes technology and the distance that we've come as fishermen, Shafar, from the old days of rowing a boat out to sea through the breakers and now launching with those powerful engines. So, you know, if anyone says he owns a boat, the first question you ask is, what motors do you have? And the motors basically are the powerhouse of boating. And that picture captures it quite perfectly, Shafar.
I tell you, Adam, through the muffle and all that, you heard me. You know why? Because it's a cloudy weather, and I think this is happening. I believe that the cell phone towers and all these towers that connect us, they have stolen the batteries, Adam. They have stolen the batteries. They're stealing the cables. They're stealing everything left, right, and center. But I still tell you, through all that muffle and all that, you still got the gist of my question. How did that happen, Adam? Tell me, how did that happen?
Sorry, the towers, I think, are collapsing. The signal is really collapsing. I'm just barely touching every half a word. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I said, you know, it was a muffling all the time. I wondered how you heard me, and then it came in again, because they're stealing all the batteries, and we know they are up to something. I don't know what they're really up to, Adam.
Yes, I think the towers are under a lot of strain. They usually have backup batteries attached to them, so when we have power outages, we can continue to get strong signal. But lately, that has been very wanting, and we're really battling with signal. The score was very clear for the first half, but now it's gone very fuzzy. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I hope it'll come right now. And Adam, let's move forward and talk about what are the plans for the Muslim fishermen now after Ramadan, you know. Will they go immediately after Eid day, or is it Eid night you're going out fishing?
Yes, Shafat. Some of the fishermen still continue fishing during Ramadan, but a lot of us take a break. I think, you know, it's quite taxing physically being out there in the sun the whole day. So I've given it a break for the entire month. And I'm looking forward to the seas being quite settled. And after Ramadan, we'll start fishing again. A lot of people have said that And after the floods, you know, with all that river water flowing into the ocean, it's actually livened with the fishing up. There's lots of nutrients in the ocean. The sandbanks have all moved. The river mouths are flowing freely. And they are predicting that fishing will really be a bumper season after Ramadan, Shafa. So once the weather and the water settles, we're all really looking forward to going out there and catching some good Hildek salmon. And the garrick will be on the bite. Shad will be around, can target grunters, stump nose, all manner of fish
art. Alhamdulillah, you know, really, there'll be a lot of excitement coming through that end. And also, Adam, we talk about the promenade. You know, you're always having a bird's eye view. Is the volume of people walking, has it diminished during Ramadan?
Yes, Shafat, it was pretty much a ghost town after the floods. And I think that is more due to people concentrating more on mopping up their homes, patching up the damage, and really going into survival mode without water and electricity. But things are coming back to normal now. I'd say the crowd is about half what it normally is on a Sunday morning, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, as you said, waiting for the clouds to get through. And also, Adam, when you look at the activities around us, you know, the spirituality that goes through. But we can't stop talking about the devastation that has taken place recently. How long will that stay in our minds before it will leave us, Adam?
I think it's permanent, Shafat. You know, those images of Amshloti with the entire building looks like a bomb went off there. It's on par with the floods of 1987, Shafat. So I think 2022 has made its mark. April 11th will remain with us for many years to come. And a lot of people are looking at the geology of KZN, and the talk of the structure along the bluff, which is very prone to landslides, similar to the Piria Ridge, and also likened to the ridge in Amshloti as well. So everyone's really looking at the geology and working out a plan for disaster if this has to occur again, Shafat.
Yeah, many people have left their hometowns that was hit by disaster and are living with their relatives. And, the skepticism that will be in their minds, if the building was flooded, is the foundation solid? Can we live in that building? Or maybe another slight storm will bring the building down. You really feel for those people. And do we have the type of expertise, that can make an informed decision and tell the people, no, sorry, you can't live here, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, we are at an advanced stage of geology where geologists can study the soil, the rock, the formations, whether it's clay or sandstone, etc., and declare whether this area is prone to landslides. But although they have that knowledge, Shafat, there is resistance to them classifying certain areas as high risk. Because once they do that, then the value of the land plummets. And you know what, Shafat? Human beings tend to have a very short memory span. And a few months from now, or even a year or two from now, no one will look at Amshloti as a high-risk area. It will be booming again, and everyone will want to buy a property there. It's just that, as I mentioned, the authorities do not permanently label certain areas high risk for landslides. It's just something that happened in KZN. But from a previous experience of floods, it's total devastation. People have lost lives, lost property, etc. But over time, people continue to build in low-lying areas and areas that are prone to landslides. It's just human nature, Shafat.
Now, Adam, you're in a position where you can give us a report back and looking at Chatsworth, where you have your business there and how the people reacted to the storms. And there you're living in the beachfront, very little damage. You can tell us how was the effects there of the storm in the beachfront and compared to Chatsworth, the differences, the similarities, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, you'd expect in the beachfront area, close to the ocean, it's more prone to devastation. Fortunately for us at North Beach, there wasn't that much damage. But low-lying areas, like for example, the Springle Beach, which you know very well, was totally, totally devastated. Lots of areas submerged underwater. And I think this was more due to those rivers and canals that flow out to the ocean in that area, which probably burst their banks and flooded vast areas like the whole of the Toyota factory and that area called Crab City in East Springle Beach, which is built around mangroves. And, when a flood like this occurs, then those areas are very high risk. But the surprising thing, as I mentioned before, Shafat, is it's not only low-lying areas, areas near riverbanks, etc. Every single area was affected with this heavy rains. Like my observations in Absarizana, for example, I was in 30th Avenue in my dad's house when this happened. And my brother lived just a few roads away in 30th Avenue, and he was locked in. There was landslides in his road. He couldn't drive his car out. Then I told him, okay, I'll pick you up. The main road was blocked. Part of it was washed away near the river. Then I decided to try another route through Collier Avenue. There were landslides there. So I waited there, and my brother had to walk nearly 2 kilometers to get to the car, and then we could take his keys and open his shop, Shafat. So no area has been spared, whether it's landslides, walls collapsing. There was a wall that collapsed next to my dad's house. Amstaduzana river runs through Amstaduzana. The low-level bridge was completely covered. And there's a temple on the riverbank that was completely demolished. Half of the building was washed away, and half was left as rubble. So as I said, Shafat, no area was spared. But the shining beacon that comes through all of this, Shafat, is the communities in each area. While we were waiting there, while I was waiting for my brother to come up and to give him a lift to work, the community policing forums all formed groups and didn't wait for the municipality to come forward, because it was such a disaster, the municipality could not cope. So the communities all banded together, got bags and spades, and scooped up whatever rubble they could into bags and pulled them off the roads. And by late that morning, Shafat, the roads were open, and traffic could flow, and the communities really rallied together. Even through the power cuts, water cuts, and electricity cuts, Shafat, it's amazing how our communities are coming together. I know of, I think, the Mac Foundation in Subingo Beach that used a one-ton bucky and kept filling water and bringing it to the community, Shafat. So it's selfless acts like this that, you know, especially in the month of Ramadan, to be doing sawab work like this, clearing the roads and giving water to people who don't have water. I think it was really an opportunity for all of us, and our communities have really come to the party, Shafat.
Adam, for that, you get 10 out of 10. What a brilliant report, and encapsulated the whole thing, because, you know, I just heard about things happening, but I never knew it was that bad in Chatsworth also, because, you know, I'm living right near the disaster zone. I'm after literally 30 seconds away from Crab City. Now, Adam, you know, you tell us everything, and alhamdulillah, you bring it to life on radio, and Allah bless you for that. And, you know, everyone say, hey, please, Adam, take it for it. Yeah, Adam is here. Don't worry, Adam is, mashallah, he's doing well. What recipe can you give Gigi Foy for perhaps iftar, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, Gigi Foy has been begging for iftar recipes. So I've got a lovely lamb kofta recipe. It's made with lamb mince. So you start with 500 grams of lamb mince. You add to that half a grated onion, quarter cup breadcrumbs, 2 cloves of crushed garlic, and 2 tablespoons of cooked coriander, lasagna. Then to this, you add the following spices: 2 teaspoons of dhania powder, 2 teaspoons of jeera powder, 2 teaspoons of paprika, 1.5 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and 1.5 teaspoons of salt. You mix all of this up, Shafat, mash it nicely with your fingers to get all the spices nicely infused with the mince. And then you roll them into balls, or you put them onto skewers. And you can basically braise it, or you could do it, grill it in the oven, or even fry it in your frying pan. And as a side to this as well, you can make a yogurt sauce. You start with 1 cup of yogurt, add 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, 1 clove of garlic crushed, 1 teaspoon of jeera powder, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. You mix all this up thoroughly, and you leave it in the fridge for 30 minutes for all the spices to infuse with the yogurt. And then this is served on a flat bread. You can take a pita bread or naan, smear it with the yogurt sauce, and then place on top of that your cooked koftas. And on the side, you can put some shredded cabbage and then a little more sauce on the koftas and wrap that up. And you're good to go, Shafad.
I tell you, Adam, healthy, wealthy advice. I really love that. A lamb kofta, people. And as Adam said, you can make it in the open fire. Just get it going. Adam, your parting words this morning.
Yes, Shafad, I'd love to encourage everyone to grab these last few days of Ramzan with both hands, make lots of dua, remember us in your duas, and inshallah, all your duas will be accepted, and you'll be able to find the most auspicious holy night amongst the odd nights. Assalamu alaikum to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our Adam Kamda. They're brilliant indeed. A really beautiful chat with him. And he's really someone I look forward to on having on our platform there. And also giving us so much of value to broadcasting. The lamb kofta, people, make it on the open fire. Your mince, your onions, your crumbs, and your garlic, your coriander, 2 teaspoons of dhania, jiru, paprika, cinnamon, pepper, salt. Mix it long shape. You can have it on balls or on skewers. Grill, as I said, or open fire. And, you know, you can also make a sauce with the olive oil, a garlic, and you can have the lemon juice, salt and pepper and so forth, and get it all done. Yeah. And inshallah, when dua, when you open your iftar, hey, you got something very healthy indeed. And remember, date is the best way of opening it. Dates and water.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.